We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, Hebrews chapter 2, and our text for this morning you'll find in verse 15. Hebrews 2, verse 15. We could read at verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, Christ also himself, likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We live in strange times, and there's a great fear of death around. People have accepted all kinds of restrictions to their lives because of this fear of death. They are staying at home. There's no football these days, no tennis, Wimbledon, no Olympics this summer. The pubs are closed, the clubs, the concert halls, no holidays, none of the usual shopping. There's all kinds of restrictions. Our economy is taking a huge hit. Lots of people are out of work and many more will be. Many businesses will fail. Shops, hotels, restaurants, pubs will find it difficult to survive. Last week, we had the highest recorded deaths ever in England and Wales. 16,000 deaths in one week. 16,000. This past week, there have been more and more deaths in our own country here in Scotland. We've had over 1,000 deaths now from this coronavirus. 15,000 deaths in the UK as a result of the coronavirus. 160,000 deaths worldwide. Are you afraid? Fear of death is natural, but as Christians, we have the key. We have victory through Christ. That's what I'd like to speak about this morning. So many people in our country, so many people right across the world, afraid of death. But there's an answer, and the answer is in Jesus Christ. There is a Saviour, the Lord Jesus, who has conquered death, and he gives to us everlasting life. Well, first of all, this morning, let's think about the fear of death. We see it in people's faces. As you walk along the road, people avoid you in the supermarket. If you give a little cough, then people look at you with fear in their eyes. The vast majority of people are happy to stay at home and very careful about social distancing. And all that is wise, of course. We're not in any way decrying that. We see people washing their hands more and more, and that's good and right and proper. Some people wear masks. There's that fear of death around. But the fear of death is not new. We're more conscious of it today than in the past. But it's always there. In fact, we're told here in this verse about men and women who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That is, that fear of death in us all. Many people cope by ignoring death, by never mentioning death. And when death does occur, the undertaker is immediately called and the undertaker takes over and washes the body, dresses the body. The coffin is covered with flowers and in every way trying to ignore the harsh reality of death. Funeral services are celebrations and thanksgiving, and there seems to be little or no mourning. Now, it's natural that we fear death because, well, death, firstly, death is the end of all that is familiar to us, our lives here. Death brings that to an end. And then, too, there's a natural instinct in us all, an instinct of self-preservation. We do anything to avoid dying. You know how people will endure all kinds of surgery and all kinds of unpleasant medical treatments in order to save their own life. There's that natural instinct in us that fears death. But then too, so many people, their gods, their idols, are the things that belong to this work, to this life. Their work and their money and their homes and their pleasures, their entertainments, their football, whatever it is. These things are their idols. These are the things that they love above everything else. And when death comes, well, that's the end of it. They've lost all these things. So there is that fear of death. And then we love our families, don't we? We love our children, we love our brothers and sisters, our parents, and death is losing our family, losing our loved ones, leaving them behind. And then there's the fear of the physical pain involved in death. None of us have been through it, so we don't know what it's like, but there is that fear of the unknown, the weakness that comes. The disability, perhaps the nausea, maybe the struggling to breathe. What will it be like when eventually we succumb to death? There's naturally a fear of dying. But then the greatest fear of all is what comes after death. The judgment, the eternity. There's a hell as well as a heaven. So there's a fear of death because when you die, where do you go? Will you go to heaven? Are you sure? Or will you go to hell? It's right that a sinner should fear death, leaving all that's good behind in this life, all their pleasures. And then going to a lost eternity. Remember when God created man at the beginning, he created Adam and Eve and he placed them in the Garden of Eden. And there was no sin there and there was no death. Everything was beautiful. It was paradise. It was happiness. No pain, no suffering, no death. But then Satan came into the garden and tempted our first parents. He told them a lie. He said, "You shall not surely die. If you eat this forbidden fruit, then you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. You'll be wise like God. And you won't die. You won't die. You won't die." And they preferred to believe Satan's lie to God's truth. God said, "You shall surely die in the day you eat of it." And so our first parents, believing Satan's lie, ate the forbidden fruit, and immediately they died. Died in the sense of a spiritual death, a separation from God. And died too in the sense that the process of death began in their lives. Physically, they began to age. Today there are many people who are atheists. They don't believe in God, so they say. They try to convince themselves that there is no God. And if there's no God, then there's no judgment and there's no hell. And when we die, well, that's it. That's the end. There's nothing. But then there's a little voice inside them, the voice of conscience. God has placed in every one of us a conscience, and it says, there is a God. There is a God. There's right and wrong. There's a day when you have to face reckoning. There's a judgment day ahead. There are many, many, and they find comfort in the idea that God is love and God won't punish us. Because God is love, everything will be fine. You shall not surely die. You shall not surely go to hell. Jesus spoke so much about hell and he warned us about it, but there's that little voice inside that says, you shall not surely die. Satan says, God is love. Everything is wonderful. And when you die, you'll go to heaven and be happy with your friends and relatives and neighbors forevermore. But the Bible says, the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is everlasting life. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And Jesus tells us that there's a broad road, a broad gate and a broad road that leads to destruction, and many are on it. And a narrow gate and a narrow way that leads to life, to heaven, and few there be that find it. The fear of death is natural, because after death is the judgment, and there's a heaven and there's a hell. But then secondly, notice the victory of Christ. The victory of Christ. We have it in verse 14. Christ took upon himself flesh and blood, took to himself the same nature as we have, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Satan has the power of death. How? Because he tempts us to sin. He persuades us to sin. And when we sin, well, the wages of sin is death. And if you think of our first parents, he tempted them to sin. And all the death that we see in the world today is as a result of that first sin, that original sin. Our first parents sinned against God, and death came into the human experience. And so we're all born children of Adam, born sinners, born dying. The wages of sin is death. And our first parents handed themselves over to Satan and became Satan's slaves. He promised life. He promised a good time. He said, you'll be like God. But instead they found they were like the devil, under condemnation and on the way to a lost eternity. Satan loves to destroy. And even in this life, we can see it. We see people who follow Satan's pleasures, those who think they're going to have great times and parties and so on, and they're drinking, and then they become addicted to drink, and their life becomes miserable. Or they take drugs, and oh, they're going to have a wonderful life, and they're going to really enjoy themselves, and then, sadly, addicted, and you see them queuing up at the chemist for their methadone every day. As one recovered alcoholic said, the walking dead gathering there at the chemist's shop. How sad it is to see the miserable life, because sin leads to death. Sin leads to misery. Following Satan leads to misery. But then, way back in the very beginning of the Bible, there in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3, verse 15, there's a promise. Yes, our first parents sinned. They broke God's commandments. Death came into the world, but God said, the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. A child shall be born to the woman, a child who will crush Satan. And so, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took flesh and blood, was born in Bethlehem as a baby to the Virgin Mary, grew up in Galilee, lived a life in this world for 33 years. He was tempted in all points like as we are. Satan attacked him time and time again, trying to get him to sin, but never succeeded. Jesus is the last Adam, the second Adam, and he resisted Satan's temptations. And then, having gained many victories over Satan, he handed himself over. He allowed himself to be arrested, to be tried, and to be crucified. And his greatest victory over Satan came through his death. He died as a perfect human being who didn't deserve to die because the wages of sin is death. But he never sinned, therefore he didn't deserve to die. But he handed himself over to death. And he died in our Roman place, taking our sins upon himself. And there in death he grappled, he wrestled with Satan. And eventually he got his foot on Satan's head and crushed it. He destroyed Satan so that Satan is doomed. And he delivered his people. And Satan lost his rights over us. He can no longer claim us for hell. That's what we have in verse 14, for as much then as the children, you and me, are partakers of flesh and blood, Jesus also himself likewise, the Son of God, took part of the same, took flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil. Through his suffering death for us, he destroyed the one who has the power of death, that is Satan, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Deliverance through Christ. Satan lost his rights over us. He can no longer claim us for hell. Christ paid the ransom price for us to set us free. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die, never suffer that horrid death in hell. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the life. Jesus gives us life. He who has the Son has life, and he who has not the Son of God hath not life. The devil is the prince of darkness. The devil is the prince of death, but Christ is the prince of life. We have a living and life-giving Savior. We have victory through Christ. And so, friends, there's the fear of death, but there's victory through Christ. And so, thirdly, we have triumph over fear. Putting your faith in Christ, you triumph. Believing in him, You are saved. Putting your confidence in Jesus, all fears are taken away because He looks after you. You're born again into the kingdom of God. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old creation is under the curse. It's suffering. It's dying. But you are a new creation, born again by the Spirit of God. You are sons of God, daughters of God. And you are indwelt by the Spirit. You have faith, not fear. You are more than conquerors through Him who loved you and gave Himself for you. We have triumph. Think of the words at the end of Romans 8. We're told there that nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. His love is eternal. It's infinite. It's unchangeable. It's always there. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. So whatever's in the future, it cannot separate us from God. It can't separate us from Jesus. Neither death nor life, neither coronavirus nor anything else can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Whoever is condemned, nobody will be condemned who trusts in Christ, who has embraced Christ, who is in Christ Jesus. It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? If God justifies us, who can condemn us? Having Christ, we are justified, and there is no condemnation. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ. And then in 1 Corinthians 15, we have that verse which says that the sting of death is removed by Christ. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ. Christ took the sting out of death. He endured it. He gained victory over the grave by His resurrection. And so for those who are in Christ, death will have no sting. And the grave will not triumph over them. But we will triumph, rising from the grave, to enter into heaven. For the Christian, the true Christian, who trusts in Christ, death is the end of suffering. Death is the end of sorrows. Death is the end of cares and worries. Death is the end of misery. Death is the end of disability. Death is the end of all the bad things that are here. And then comes life, eternal life, triumph. Death is the end of work. Our work for one another, our work for God. Death is the payday, the day of the reward. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Their works do follow them. There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God. They are at rest, and they are rewarded for their labors and what they do for the Lord. Death, in a sense, is our wedding day, because we love Jesus. We are, as it were, engaged to Jesus, to be wedded to Him forever. Death is our wedding day. So we need not fear it. It is the best day. Death is us going home to the family, to our true family, because God is our Father. Jesus Christ is our older brother. We are citizens of heaven. We belong to the heavenly kingdom. Jesus encourages us. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to be with myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Why fear? Why fear going home? Going to be with Jesus? Going to be in the house that he has prepared for us? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the death of the Christian is described as sleeping in Jesus. Those that sleep in Jesus, the Lord brings with him. There's nothing easier than when you're tired, falling asleep. You go to bed, you lie down, and you don't know exactly when it is, but you've fallen asleep. And death is like that for the Christian. Falling asleep in Jesus, waking up in heaven. We might fear the pains, the suffering, the weakness that comes as we die. But let's remember 2 Corinthians chapter 12. There Paul was suffering from the thorn in the flesh. And he was told, "My grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness." Indeed, whatever we go through, whatever troubles and trials, whatever pain and suffering, my grace is sufficient for you. And that's a wonderful promise. We fear the future, but we need not fear. Don't be afraid. Trust God. His grace is sufficient. His comfort, his support, his strength, his enabling. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And he's most with us when we die. Indeed, the deathbed of the Christian is a deathbed surrounded by angels. And then when we die, the angels carry our souls to heaven, to Abraham's bosom. We need not fear what comes after death as Christians. We need not fear the judgment because Jesus is the judge. Our Savior is the judge. The one who died for us is our judge. The one who pardoned us our sins, he's the judge. We need not fear judgment because we trust in Jesus, and being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone who receives Jesus, everyone who's in Jesus, is safe and secure. We have triumph over the fear of death because death is the doorway to a blessed future. As Paul puts it, to depart and to be with Christ is far better. To me, to live is Christ. To die is gain. It's gain to die. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Present with the Lord in that place where there's no suffering, no pain, no death, no illness. No tragedies, no fighting, no wars, no quarreling, nothing unpleasant. Nothing unclean shall enter heaven. Nothing sinful shall go in there. There'll be no temptation there. There'll be no enemy there. There'll be no Satan there. But God and Jesus Christ and the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and the angels, and all the Lord's people, all who trust in Jesus, together, sharing together in the blessed paradise of heaven. And our bodies, yes, left in the grave, but only for a time. Our bodies being still united to Christ to rest in the grave until the resurrection. Our souls immediately go to heaven to enjoy Christ there immediately we die. That is death when our soul leaves the body. But then, at the end of the world, at the end of the age, Christ shall return, and all the souls of his people will return with him to enter into their bodies, and their bodies transformed, suited for an eternity in heaven, shall rise, the same bodies, but transformed. They shall rise, enter into heaven, to be with Christ forever. So, friends, we need not fear. There are those, and yes, they are afraid of death. Maybe you're afraid of death. Well, if you're afraid of death, come to Christ today. Put your trust in Jesus. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Christ gave a wonderful invitation. He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And if you're trusting in Jesus, you need not fear. Get rid of your fear. Triumph over your fear, because nothing shall separate you from the love of God in Christ. The sting has been removed from death. Death is the end of sufferings and sorrows and cares. Death is the end of sin. Death is the end of work. Death is our wedding day. Death is going home to be with the Lord, with the family. Going to that place that Christ has prepared for us. Sleeping in Jesus to waken in heaven. His grace is sufficient. It will sustain us through death. We need not fear the judgment because we have been justified, pardoned. Jesus is the judge. And he's presenting us with a blessed future. Enter ye in to the joy of your Lord. Come ye blessed of my Father. What a wonderful future Christ has prepared for us.